Hey everyone, this is Tronster in the basement of the Geek House, and this is the Basement Game Dev Podcast. I have sitting across from me my co-host, Brett Dorley. And on the guest couch, Eric Ruth.
Word to all of your mothers.
Again, we've...
All of them.
Every last one of them. Don't leave any out.
We also have Gabe. Gabe is on the sofa. Are you going to be creepy or non-creepy on the sofa?
I'll be a little bit creepy.
Okay, he's going to be just a little bit creepy for this episode. And
he's toning it down.
Yeah, we'll keep it on check. And also,
Could you put that butcher's knife down, please, Gabe? Thanks.
Okay. And we're going to talk about game engines. Let's get right into game engines because it's June, it's summer, it's warm and hot. And
game developers do not go outside.
Exactly. That's how we maintain our pasty white skin.
We got to do it somehow.
All right. So
I work hard for that.
Actually, you're still spotting a pretty good tan. I mean, Brett, you do the cruising life is
that's true.
It's in your blood. Mm-hmm. You're almost Diamond Club. Is that right?
Almost.
Yes. Almost. Brett
I like the Caribbean.
He's an expert on cruising. Mm-hmm. So,
that's a topic for another podcast.
Okay, cruising. Mm-hmm. Maybe later in the summer. So, well, let's talk game engines. Let's talk about what engines we're working with recently, and then we'll just go all over the place from that. And we can kick it off with our guest, who was the focus of last month's podcast, and he talked a little bit about the engine that he used. But, Eric, what do you use these days, and why do you use the engine that you use?
I use GameMaker Studio by Yo-Yo Games, and for me, it is a delightful game development engine, as it allows me to program working prototypes into full games relatively quickly in comparison to something straight like Unity, even though that is a quicker alternative than even some of the others. But it is my favorite because I've been working with it for years. It's grown a lot over the course of the past many, many years, actually, since we're talking 2005 is when you guys last checked it out. I use it all the time, every day. I got nothing but good things to say about it, and that is that for me.
Excellent. How about you, Brett?
So I've been working at Day1/Wargaming for the past 8 years, and over that time we've built the in-house Despair engine, which is primarily what I've been working with. It's a C++ with Lua scripting, and as a member of Wargaming, Wargaming also recently purchased a Big World, which is a engine/backend for MMOs, and so I've had an opportunity to look at that code. That's mostly written in Python rather than Lua and C++, which I've been used to.
Yeah, it's so interesting you mentioned backend also. I mean, I've known a little bit about how the backend is the game when you're doing a multiplayer game. And at Firaxis, we did Civ World, and the back end was the game. And for some reason with Facebook, that just made sense. But what really hit it home for me about how the back end becomes like the game engine, the video game, was in February. I was doing the one game a month, and it kind of broke me because I tried making a network game in 28 days and used this technology called Player.io. Have any of you heard of this?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. It got acquired by Yahoo last month, and it's really good free networking technology, and it had a Flash front end and Player.io back end, and Player.io made it great, but little by little, I had to take all the game out of the ActionScript 3 in Flash and just turn it into the C# back end of it, because otherwise you have desyncs that are occurring across the board, and it's just odd when you have a client server in an action-based game. So
yeah, no, the client really just becomes just the display at that point. It receives the inputs from the local player, and otherwise it's just displaying the state from the server. It's not actually doing anything. And it's a very different mentality to work with if you've never done it before.
Right. And I guess right now I've been using mostly the Unity engine at Firaxis. We have we put out Haunted Hollow a few months ago. Woo! On iOS and iPad and iPhone. And yep, everything in that was done with Unity. with some third-party plugins, and Will and Dave, they actually gave a talk at the May IGDA about that, and that was great that they could share a little bit about their experience. Before that, I've been doing stuff personally inside of Flash using the fantastic free IDE called Flash Develop. If you are still doing ActionScript 3 work now, you should not be using the Flash tool. You should not.
It's horrible.
You should not use Flash Builder.
It's horrible.
Get Flash Develop. It's made by just some ridiculously smart guys over in Europe who, and they shouldn't even call it Flash Develop anymore. I mean, we had this conversation on the boards, but it also compiles this tech called Hacks, and the one of these languages that Google came out with a year or two ago, which I'm totally blanking on, but maybe Gabe can fact check and find out, like, what is this new language that that Flash Develop can support. And Flash had been great, but I'm over to Unity now for my personal projects too, because about 3 years ago I said that it looked like Flash had about 5 years left of its life, and so we're now looking about 2 years out, and I think Flash will continue to be used in some specific places. Like, I don't see it going away in the game industry for AAA titles because
of Scaleform.
Yeah, because of Scaleform. Or I was looking at the Doom 3 source code last month, and do you know that id just, they built their own Flash player for Doom 3?
Oh, that's...
it's pretty impressive, but I mean, EA did that too, and they had like a team that had made their tool, and this was years ago, so I don't know what EA is using now, but EA had their own ActionScript 2-based player, but then just finding out like id, a single studio, decided to make something that could just take Flash and play it and use that for all their UI. I'm like, wow.
Was that during ActionScript 1 days? Or because Doom 3 was a long time ago.
Good Lord, yeah. 2005? 2006?
That was probably before Adobe.
Was it poor? Yeah, I guess Macromedia was around. So, but Scaleform, I think, was just coming about, because Scaleform, before it got acquired by Autodesk, was the company Scaleform, and the technology they call Scaleform now used to be called GFX. Mm-hmm. And before it was GFX, it was an open source project that one dude had put together as a proof of concept, and they took it and then they made it much more robust and just, you know, made it the great product it is today. Okay, well, all right, different devs, we'll say different
okay,
ways.
Mainly it's the Flash tool that's the biggest problem.
Flash tool is the big... I mean, I know other engineers... I know engineers on either side of it.
But apparently also the guys at Scaleform actually use Flash Develop and not the Flash tool for the most part, so...
Right, I mean, I remember a few GDCs ago I was talking with them, and we had a conversation, and they had just discovered Flash Develop, and said, oh yes, this thing is the bomb. And there's a few other tools, but like the tools that really make it useful were not the tools that were coming out of Adobe. I know Adobe's had a recent initiative with video gaming and Flash, but I got to be careful what I say there, because it's like, I think some of the things they're doing is fantastic. They made it so you can use fast memory operations and shaders without charging you some weird $10,000 licensing fee they had before. And
as opposed to all the other things they charge you a $10,000 right. licensing fee for.
And I understand they're a business. I can't say I know how they can make money off of Flash. That I don't know. But charging to use certain function calls that existed, like that basically turned off the whole demo community, which had been working inside of Flash, or a lot of it. And they were the people who were pushing Flash to the edges, like the boundaries, to show what it could do.
Well, how is that different than Unity having their free version and then their professional version, and they're being able to do a lot more with Unity if you pay for the... I mean, it's the same type of thing, isn't it?
I wonder. I mean, how is it different? I mean, my feeling with Unity... here's how I'd look at it, is that these things were free, even though they were beta, but they were free, and they were being embraced. So the people who were bleeding edge and leading edge were not corporate sponsored people. They were just game developers, people in their basements or attics or bedrooms, and are like, let's see what cool crap I can do with this call and make the most insane particle system, most optimized physics system, whatever. And they could no longer do these calls because with a later version of Flash Player, it's like, oh, you now need $10,000 before you can use them. Or you have to fill out a thing to prove you're not going to make so much money. And then we'll let you have it for free. But if the thing you do ever does make a lot of money, and they just don't want to go over a hassle, they just want to download the code and bam, play with it. And so, whereas with Unity, it seems like Unity always had some free version and a non-free version. And where Unity decided to make the boundaries wasn't in a place that would restrict the people who are bleeding edge. Like, if you want the pay Unity of right now, it's $1,500. And it means you can only target desktops. And then if you want to target iPhone or Android, you have to buy these other add-ons. But if you have the free version of Unity, you can target desktops. And they made it so now if you want to target the iPhone or Android with the free one, that used to be $400 each. It's $800 to target all of mobile. That's now free as well. And you just cannot use a thing called asset bundles. So you kind of have to load everything, like the whole hog. You just, bam, you get the whole thing in, which can suck if your game is of any significant size. Because you have load times, that's going to piss off your game players. The other thing you can't use is render textures. So if you want to take a whole scene or take a camera and then render out live onto a texture, something that another camera is looking at, and you get some pretty crazy effects. I shouldn't even crazy. I mean, there's a lot of very subtle effects you can do with it too. The only way you can go and unlock that feature inside of Unity is by paying $1,500 for the pay version. But if you want to use shaders, if you want to use the particle system, you want to use anything else inside of Unity except for those features, you can for free. It's like, well.
So basically, to break down between the discussion that you guys are having here, what you're claiming that the difference essentially is between Flash and Unity's pay for this, free for that models is that Flash's pay for is more hindering to the developer than Unity's, which while you still need in the end game, if you still want to make something really big and presentable, then you still have to pay your fees and so forth. But you have the chance to tool with, toy with, try things, and even put together solid demos, and you have to pay nothing for that. You've got, it's complete free for the developer to be a developer. And Flash, Adobe wants that money. He really wants that tangible right. chunk of change from you before they'll let you play around like you can do in Unity.
I guess also to buy into Flash, develop the Flash tool, there is an upfront cost initially, and then you have to pay more you don't have to anymore, I guess. But there was an initial cost, whereas there isn't an initial cost with Unity.
With Flash, there hasn't been an initial cost for a while. I mean, if you want the Flash tool, you're right, the timeline tool, the artist tool.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
But you can go and actually get the Flash compiler for free. You can get everything you need to actually make Flash games for free, minus the artist tool. So there are similarities there. There's also a similarity that Unity comes with MonoDevelop, which I think is a really crappy IDE. It will crash when I load certain third-party files. I don't know what's even in those files, but maybe they're just too big. And but the fact that MonoDevelop works cross-platform most of the time, a lot of the time, is a testament to it's an okay IDE. So I think crappy may not be fair, but it's not. It's no Visual Studio. It's
nothing is Visual Studio.
Yeah, nothing is. It's I'd say it's no Xcode, but I'm not the biggest fan of Xcode. But I'm still playing with that too. Have you played with any of these at all, Eric? At all?
No. I've messed with Unity a little bit because I have so many friends in the industry that just swear by it and say, well, if you like Game Maker, which clearly you do, then you'll love Unity, which is essentially like the Game Maker for actual compile code. I know a little bit of C#, and so I've screwed around, but I haven't finished any projects or anything. Because Unity is also very specifically a 3D gaming engine, even though you can make 2D games. You have to, finagle your way through it, like making objects, because, object-oriented programming, you have to make objects, and then you have to slap your flat sprites on top of them to give the sprite, so... That is typically how everyone that I know has used Unity to make 2D games, and I don't know how they've been optimizing it for that recently. They may have changed some things, because I haven't tooled with it in like 2 years. But I certainly liked it enough. I mean, I'm just very familiar with Game Maker and didn't make the transition. But I definitely saw the appeal, and I dig it.
There's a more recent reason for just some of the... I'm kind of all over the place here. There's a lot of issues I've had with where Flash is today. I just want to share a story of an unexpected time where I felt a little betrayed by what the offerings were. Since the beginning, the dawn of time, there's been this feature in the Flash player that says, like, save as projector. You can take any Flash file, and if you're playing it on the local Flash player, you can then basically convert it to an EXE from the Flash player. Maybe it's only the debug player, but you could always do it. So inside of Firaxis, and I think this was, maybe it was January or February, we had a game jam. And so different teams went off in different directions, and a few people, I think one team used Unreal and a few people used Unity. And I was working with a lot of other user interface guys, and we decided, okay, we're going to use Flash because we all are familiar with it. And we're going to use Flixel because it's an amazing, robust engine that sits on top of it. We made the game. It was out there. We wanted everyone to play it. But if you just export a SWIFT around there and it's got external assets, things get kind of weird because we were doing some pretty hardcore stuff. So we were like, we'll just turn it into an EXE and it'll be done. But we got the latest Flash player, and the thing save as projector was grayed out. I was like, what? So I went back to like try to get another version, and that grayed out. I went on a line, and we found out that what happened is that this thing has not worked for like a year or two. It's just their Flash player, the feature hasn't worked on Windows, and you can't.
And they just never removed it or made it obvious or anything.
Right. It broke. And so I was like, oh crap. So finally, I don't even know how, but after way too long, I found where I could get an old version of the Flash player. Because it wasn't obvious on Adobe's website. So that made me shake fist at Adobe. But I finally got a version, pulled it down, tried to load our game in it. Our game used a feature where you could use the left mouse click or the right mouse click. I know. Amazing. They finally added that in there. And the problem is the old Flash players don't support the right mouse click. So... At this point, you know...
This is going to be a lose-lose story, isn't it? I have a feeling.
Well, I thought, okay, I have Flash Builder on my computer. Maybe I can somehow load this into Flash Builder, build it through that to make it as an EXE. And this was just the icing on the cake. I should have just said, F it and be done. But I imported it. It came in a weird way. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to remove the project from Flash Builder and then re-import it. So I removed it from Flash Builder or removed it from my hard drive, and then I brought Flash Builder back up, and Flash Builder immediately crashed. Like, I couldn't stop it, but it just crashed. I couldn't figure out why. And eventually, it was all because I had decided to remove a project from my hard drive and not do it through the Flash Builder interface, that now Flash Builder will not run at all. Even if I delete Flash Builder and I reinstall it, it continues not to run because of some weird preferences it stored somewhere. At that point, I said to myself, I had already been teetering whether or not I was going to stick with Flash. I said, F this. I need to go and use Unity when the flagship developer tool project failed me. And I don't know. Like, have you guys ever had that? Like, have your tools, like any or a version of any of your tools ever just like removed a feature that you need it and you're just...
Well, I've heard rumors that like the Flash dev, especially years ago, was very clumsy, and I guess this story helps drive that home. I guess they're very like bumbling, almost in a goofball way that you could center a comedy movie starring Will Ferrell around. Because that's pretty. I've never had that kind of problem before, Tronsta. That's pretty messed up. Where you just like, I can't even. It just removed.
Yeah. Removing a project should not stop your program from running.
Yeah, that's insane.
You, Brett, you ever have anything?
Brett's looking at you with wide eyes, man. Like, yeah, I don't know what that's
Brett's got the like deer in headlight eyes going on right now in unbelief.
Like, I've occasionally had like features removed, but it's not nothing like, oh, you deleted that project file. We're not going to ever let you launch the application again.
Yeah.
There should be no point where a creator side issue ever keeps an entire feature or program from running based on the lack of a project you started.
So yeah, we have a mentality at Wargaming West, or is it's that code should never, or sorry, bad data should never break the code. So our code has to be able to handle gracefully failing if somehow bad data got checked in, whether it's deleting a file or...
So you write in custom fail-safes, essentially?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's certainly better than the alternative.
Yes. And sometimes it's not the case, and there's a bug, and then we fix it so that way if it happens again. But the mentality is to try to be aware of that when writing the code.
Thinking two steps ahead.
Right. My biggest issue now is I'm trying to stay on my Mac side. I mean, I do have a Windows 8 partition that I can boot in Parallels. But since I'm doing everything inside of Unity, it means I have to use MonoDevelop. And I really miss FlashDevelop because that program is amazing.
Is FlashDevelop based off of Eclipse or is it MonoDevelop?
No, well, FlashBuilder, the bad program, is based off of Eclipse. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why it's so bad.
Mono is better than Eclipse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, MonoDevelop is definitely better than Eclipse for sure. And I know some Java programmers who can do great stuff with Eclipse, but I don't need to do Java development. If I was doing Flash develop, I just want to see Flash tools. So I pull up Flash Builder. And there's all these other menus for things that have no relation to my workflow or pipeline and the signal-to-noise ratio of like what buttons to press. Now,
to be fair, Visual Studio has that because it supports a bunch of different languages. Know.
Maybe I want to do an ASP.NET project when I'm done this Visual Basic project, making this C++ DLL for... Okay, yeah, so yeah, it does, but... And maybe it's just because
it works.
I've been using Visual Studio since version 1.5.2 when it was 16-bit on Windows 3.1. And so maybe that's it. But I one day sat down with an earlier version of Flash Builder and just tried to do a simple operation and start documenting everything that I thought, where like I thought an option would be and it wasn't there. And like after an hour of documenting, I actually hadn't finished my task. And that's also when I just said F this again and just closed it. Like I couldn't finish my task because it was taking so long to document and me trying to show where certain stuff would be. Yeah. So I don't know. It has gotten better over time, but I'm already moving on to Unity. I've been very pleased with what Unity can do. And I'm just hoping for better integration with another IDE. I've been trying to use Sublime every now and then. Apparently people use that for everything, for like Lua and for Python. And you guys, any Sublime?
I don't ever use Lua or Python for that matter, except for libraries and game maker. And that's it.
They might even have GL script support, maybe.
Like, not that I've heard of. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I just haven't seen it if it does.
So, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the scripting side. What do you guys think, like, in terms of just script languages with your engines? Like, do you use a primary language? Do you use... is there a scripting language you have preference of? Or do you ever find yourself writing a data parameter system that tends to be very script-like in how you run your different systems?
Well, we use... Lua's scripting inside of Despair. Originally, we had a visual scripting language and no like traditional scripting language. And there were some decisions in that were not done properly, but it had potential to work, but we ended up removing that and just going to a more traditional language and choosing Lua. Mainly because it's got a lower memory footprint than some of the other languages. When you're trying to fit on the console, that's a pretty big requirement, especially compared to Python. But I've in dealing with or having seen the Big World Code, which is all Python, be it backend and PC only client. I think it's PC only. You know, just getting the differences between the two, there's definitely some interesting syntax choices that you can do in Python. I prefer Lua over Python myself. I don't like white spaces mandating how your file is going to compile. We had an issue once where somebody had, in whatever editor they were using, changed all the tabs to spaces, which can break a Python file because tabs are treated differently than spaces in terms of Python. And it's literally blocks are just handled via white spacing. And Lua has a bit more traditional blocks. It's not quite as strong as C++ is. But in that terms alone, I mean, there are unique things that you can do in both scripting languages, but I prefer Lua over Python myself.
And Eric, so you've done, if I remember, a little bit of like basic from the TI side, and then also it's GL.
GML is GameMaker's inherent GML. Language.
What are your feelings on languages? Like, is there one you preferred? Is there a syntax?
Well, there's syntax in a lot of languages is very similar. I mean, every language uses, you know, or most use object-oriented programming with your typical if loop systems. So, the basics are always there, but stuff like TI Basic, which was really unnecessary, where you would actually have to close if loops differently than bracketing them. You actually had to specify an end if syntax. So you would have to go if, you know, X is greater than 10, then you had to write in then was an actual line of code. And then you'd have to bracket and, you know, put in whatever you're going to do, end bracket. And then after that, end if, which is really unnecessary. It just wasn't a very streamlined, you know, coding language. It was even more complicated even than VB at the time. And, with GameMaker's language, it's just essentially a really streamlined version of that, where you've got your typical bracket setups, and they have things that are very inherent to GameMaker's language. So you just have very proprietary stuff that calls, like, I'm trying to think of a good example of something that's like GameMaker only code. Crap, now I'm drawing a blank. Well, anyways, it's for what GameMaker does, it's very streamlined to that. You know, you couldn't take like that same syntax and import it into like, you know, into something C sharp like in Unity or XNA or something like that, because it wouldn't. What's the word I'm looking for? This is gonna kill me. This is gonna be one of those stay up all night killing me things. I kind of wish you could port it, because I find it easier to use than C sharp. It makes more sense to me. But unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to... Well, that's not true. Actually, I think they are working on Yo-Yo's end design. I think they're working on more porting options, because now you can cross-port to like Mac, PC, Linux. You can do browser-based stuff. It ports to HTML5. I think they are working on some other languages porting some things to Unity. I think I did hear that. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's in the pipeline. In which case, I will be very happy.
That would be excellent. Let's see. If there is... I guess we're near the end, so just one more question to go and throw out here. Is there any feature that you've not come across with any of the game engines that you've worked with that you wish existed, like a magic feature that would go and make it so much easier for you to write code or to make some aspect of a video game?
I wish writing .ini files was a little easier in GML. So, I mean, if there was that isn't as streamlined as I wish, but other than that, I can't really think of anything big, but that would be nice.
I don't think I'm really allowed to talk about the feature I would like to have at this point in time.
Yeah, sometimes it's... Yeah.
Have you learned how to program it so you can punch someone through the internet? Because if so, you are going to be rich.
No comment.
I signed an NDA.
Has everybody else on the internet signed one? Okay, great.
Okay, now we can say what it is. Now, and I'm trying to even think what that feature would be. And to some degree, I'd like there to... You know, I just want an IDE like Flash Develop. I'm just going to go back to that for writing my code to something that... as tight as a good open source project. If it's You know, very smooth for writing code, really fast tab completion, suggestions. That's how all editors should be.
You could always make a plugin for Visual Studio.
Yes. Yes, I could. Okay, and on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening, tuning in for this installment of the Basement Game Dev Podcast. And yeah, tune in again when we will talk about more crazy, interesting, or language-based things, but not language-based. This is Tronster from the Basement saying, keep making games.